We are the Glamp Queens.
We're just two classic gals who enjoy spending time in nature while keeping the comforts of home.
Whether you're a pro, a total newbie, or just tagging along for the ride,
grab a glass of wine and join us by the campfire
as we explore the world of all things camping.
Hey, Glam Queens! We are so excited to share with y'all our conversation with Lauren Panescu. You guys, Lauren is my sister, and I've got to say, she's kind of a badass. Not only is she a backpacker, she's also a rocket scientist.
Like a legit rocket scientist, y'all.
Heck yeah, she's an aerospace engineer out in California. And you guys, I'm pretty proud of her. She's an amazing lady who was recently backpacking up at Yosemite when a wildfire broke out.
And as most of y'all know, most of the West Coast has been battling against these intense fires that began back in early August and continue to burn.
Yeah, as of September 14th, there were a total of 7,718 fires across the West Coast, burning 3.7 million acres of land.
And Lauren has quite the story to tell about evacuating from Yosemite as the fires burned in her area. We really think that y'all are going to enjoy this interview, and I have to say, I'm pretty pumped because it's our first Glamp Queen interview ever.
And who better to kick it off with than my sis,
who is a total Glamp Queen.
Oh, for sure. And be sure to stay tuned for after the episode, where we'll be giving you guys a list of resources for ways that you can donate to help support the communities battling against these fires.
All right, let's dive in.
Thank you so much for jumping on to Zoom with us today. We're so excited to talk to you.
Yes. Thanks for having me. I'm excited too. This will be fun.
Oh yeah. And you've recently had a pretty crazy experience while backpacking. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So one of my first backpacking trip, multi-day backpacking trip. And while we were there, a wildfire started. And So a wildfire started and we didn't really know what was going on. But so now that we're here and out and safe, we know that this is Creek Fire in Yosemite Park, which is still going. Actually, it's been, 2 weeks and it's still going. They're 22% contained now, so that's good. Or we're getting there.
So you are in Yosemite?
Yeah, so we started out at the north side of the Sierra Forest and hiked into the southern tip of Yosemite Park, and we're staying in there at Chain Lakes, and it's actually a really nice little hike, and we were having such a great time. Like, at first, it was totally clear skies, you know, the lake is beautiful, like, it was just, like, this great time, and then this giant cloud of smoke came in. And so at first we're like, okay, so I guess there's a fire going on, but it's California. That happens. So it was one of those like, okay, should we worry? Should we not worry? It was just kind of like kind of weird.
Has that ever happened for you before where you're out backpacking and there's smoke nearby?
Well, I've never been backpacking before.
This was your first time backpacking? How exciting for you.
Oh my gosh.
Were you by yourself or were you hiking with other people?
The group, so you know, my husband and I, we were going with some friends, and so there were six of us in the group total, and we were at a popular place to backpack, so there were other campers there. So we weren't alone, but you know, several miles away from the car. That's the thing, that's the kind of the thing about like car camping versus backpacking. If something happens, you still have to hike back to the car before you can go and get away.
So how far into the park were you when you found out that there was a fire?
We were about 7 miles in.
Oh, six wow. Or seven. So you had to hike out 7 miles?
Yes.
Were the other people experienced or were they newbies?
No, they were experienced, definitely more than me. So they were experienced. Really, the scariest thing is that once we're in there, there's no cell service. So we couldn't just like Google, okay, where's a fire? How serious is this? It was just kind of the smoke in the sky, and that's all we know.
So was it like, can you describe the sky for us? Because we're in Texas. I don't know I've never been inside of a forest fire.
Okay.
So can you describe the sky?
The sky was insane. Okay, so at first it looked like it was just like an overcast cloud, but kind of with like a orangey tinge, you know? And then so we climbed up to the ridge a little bit to get a better view. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm from Texas. Like, I don't know what I'm going to see. And this is the really scary part. It actually looked like a thunderstorm. Like, there was a front line and everything. And it's like kind of clouds. And I remember I just was telling everyone, it's like, if we were in Texas, I would keep an eye out for tornadoes right now.
Yes.
But this is California and we don't get thunderstorms. So I don't really understand what's happening right now. And it was so strange. I've since Googled it and tried to figure out what was going on. So it turns out there's a thing called a firestorm, where if a wildfire burns so hot because it's been a drought and everything is so dry and there's so much fuel, and it burns so hot, it sends so much hot air up into the atmosphere that it actually creates a thunderstorm system.
That is crazy.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard of anything
like that.
So does
it rain then? If it's a thunderstorm, wouldn't that kind of help?
I was like, hey, this is great news, right? And, but it rained a little bit, but it kind of like sprinkled and then didn't. It was mostly windy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I guess because there wasn't enough moisture in the air. I guess.
Okay. I have never heard of anything like that before.
Yeah, neither had I.
And you showed
until it happened.
You showed us a picture of like the sky before and the sky afterwards, where it was like blue sky, pretty, and then orange, like orange, orange, orange. How long did that transition take? Was it immediate or was it like black and then orange?
It was within an hour. It went from an hour when it was crystal clear, not a single cloud in the sky, to completely overcast with gray, but with reddish and orangeness in the sky. And like, you know, this just, it's just so crazy. And then it didn't stop. It kind of stayed that color. So we actually stayed the night there and hiked out the next morning because it was already late enough that we would have been.
What?
Wait,
you had to stay the night?
You stayed the night on the mountain?
So here's the thing that I found out about being on fire, and is the trail to get back to the car. Along that trail, there wasn't necessarily a place to shelter, you know, from the fire. But where we were camping was next to a lake, and it was like surrounded by granite. And so like that was actually a safe place as opposed to the trail, which wasn't as safe and was actually closer to the fire on the way back to the car. I'll send you like a map with like,
so your car even definitely was set. So you were okay. So let me get this straight. Your car, and then you hiked in 7 miles to your campsite, and then you kept hiking more. So how far actually were you out?
No, so we hiked in 7 miles to the campsite.
Okay. So you were at that campsite when you found out that there was a fire?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh. So no, yeah, so we weren't going to hike further in. That wasn't going to happen. It was more of like, is it safe to hike back to the car? Or is it safer to stay put where we know we're sheltered?
Okay, but my question then would be, okay, is it safe enough? Because if you don't have the cell service, how would you be able to call? And then can fire go over like the limestone and like into the water? Or is that like not a thing?
It wouldn't go into the water, but it could, you know, get the brush around it.
And smoke. I would imagine the smoke could get pretty
bad. Smoke inhalation was really the biggest challenge.
What was your thought when you, I mean, your first time backpacker, right? Already this is a stretch, because I'm not lying, but backpacking 7 miles, that sounds like I need to do a couple like laps around the track before I go and do that. Like that sounds like I need to work out.
Right? So that was the part I was expecting. I was expecting my challenge to be lugging, you know, 30 pounds for 7 miles. Yeah. Oh, we didn't carry water this time because there's water sources. So we had water filters. It's so much better because water is really heavy.
It's What was your thought though? I mean, were you scared? No. What was your thought?
Honestly, I just kind of went directly into like problem solving mode. So I was like, okay, so this is a thing. This is a situation. We need to, you know, have a plan.
What was the plan? What do you do in that type of situation?
The plan, well, okay. So we were actually really fortunate that one of the other campers had one of those satellite communication devices. So they had...
Hold on. Can you explain that for a second? What is a satellite communication device?
I've actually bought one because after that experience, I'm like, I'm getting one of those. So I have it with me. Yes, of course.
It's a little smaller than I would have imagined. I feel like my first thought was like, you know, Jurassic Park, those big, like giant cell phones that have the big wire that
they do have bigger ones, but I just went for the really small one. And what it is like, this will link to a satellite and therefore you can get service anywhere in the world, no matter how remote you happen to be, even though there's no cell towers around. So it kind of works like a hotspot where it'll link up to my phone. And then from my phone, I can either download maps or I can text somebody or I can call like emergency services. And so now that I have one of those, the plan is to get information so we can figure out what to do. For that experience, for this recent experience, we had a neighbor who had one of these and they had information and they were able to say, it's safer to stay put for tonight. Let's see how the fire is doing tomorrow. And then tomorrow was like, okay, we need to get out of here. And so then that was the plan.
Did you sleep at all that night?
Not really.
Was it bright? Like at nighttime, could you see like a glow in the sky or something?
No, it wasn't bright. It was actually darker because, it was a full moon. So on the other nights, it was super bright because there was a full moon and no clouds blocking the moon. But this time it was really overcast. It was really dark.
Is it the ash that was making it so dark?
Oh, the ash. I guess it was the smoke clouds making it dark. But yeah, there was ash falling the whole time.
That's kind of creepy. That makes me think of like the Upside Down. Like, I feel like that's what it would walk around.
There was definitely a moment or several moments where I was like, I wonder if like this is the inspiration for like the stuff we see in Hollywood and like, all these like creepy, whether it's the Upside Down and Stranger Things or if it's any kind of like horror movie or something or sci-fi, because it looked like that.
So was it almost like snow falling or was it more like heavy?
It wasn't very heavy. It was very light. In fact, sometimes you couldn't really see it, but if you put on your headlamps, then you could see it all falling through the light. So it was very, very light and like very soft. Like you didn't realize it until you kind of shake off and you're like, oh, this is like a lot of stuff there. And then there was also a few moments where there would be like big chunks of like, when you make a campfire and like the coals, you have like those black... That was falling. And when that falls, I thought it sounded like little glass chinks, but it was like, not.
Oh my gosh. So the plan was to stay the night, which first of all, I'm not gonna lie, I would not have slept at all that night.
No,
I feel like I would have been like watching the horizon, which I don't know why you would, I don't even know if that would be helpful, but what was the steps then? Like what should, like if somebody was to get caught in the same situation, what is step one and like, what should they do first?
Step one is to try to get a good view to see where it's coming from, okay, the fire's over there or smoke is over there versus, trying to orient yourself where it is. So actually during the hike back, one of the things we did is every time there was an opportunity to get a better view, we'd climb up and get a better view to try to make sure that the fire hadn't gone into the trail in front of us. Because if we get cut off, then the plan was to turn back to the lake because, again, that's the safer spot, safer than the trail.
Did you see any, like, park rangers or any sort of, like, stat or, like, helicopters? Or was there anybody, like, trying to come find people to help them get out?
Well, we did see a helicopter go by. And we didn't really know what they were for, but now in retrospect, I think they were probably just heading straight to the fire, trying to put out the fire. And there were few campers who were in a much more dangerous situation than we were in. And so maybe they were on their way to help them.
So was there anybody else on the trail at all? Or was it just you, your group?
No, there were other people on the trail. The other campers, we were all kind of just like exiting. But I mean, we all have different paces and everyone's going to try to get off the trail as fast as they can. So we didn't really hike together in that sense, but there were other people. We saw them.
Were people calm, or was there like a sense of like did anybody panic, or was everybody pretty like experienced?
No, nobody panicked. Everybody was pretty calm. I think part of it may have been that no one had information. Like, we actually had more information than anybody else, but also 7 miles isn't actually that large of a distance in the backpacking world. So it was kind of like, we're just going to quickly and calmly get out to the car. And we were far enough away that, you know, like, we couldn't see the fire. Like, once you can see the fire, that's when it's time to panic, I think. But we were far enough away that it was just the smoke and the smoke inhalation.
And how long did that take you to get out, that hike?
We have some slow hikers with us. So it took about 4 hours, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Kind of a long time for a scary situation, but for a regular day, it's not very long. So.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine just like hiking out of that area. And how fast do these fires typically move? Like, you know, if you were to, I know it's hard to tell because it depends on the brush and everything like that, but like, if you were like, okay, we have 4 hours hike, it happens to be headed that way. What's your chance?
The thing is, it depends on the wind. I mean, that was the other strange thing that I didn't fully realize until it happened. It's like, it was so dependent on the wind. If the wind picked up, then it would carry those embers further. And so that's going to make it travel a lot fast. And then if the wind changes, then it'll just change direction. And so that was another reason why it's hard to predict. So
how has this like impacted your view of backpacking? Because again, that was your first time backpacking. So what are your thoughts for next time? Are you planning on going back?
Oh, definitely. Definitely going back. I mean, so I do feel like getting a little too close to Mother Nature is part of backpacking. That's kind of the deal. And the thing that made me nervous about backpacking, especially because I wanted to go with more experienced people for my first time for this very situation. It's like, if I don't know what I'm getting into and then I don't know how to handle the situation, like, that's when it gets dangerous. You know, now that I've gone through that situation and I have a better idea of how to handle it, then I do feel pretty confident about my ability to go back and handle the situation.
Start off with the most terrifying thing you can think of and then go backwards from there.
Right? Everything's going to be easy.
First, and then everything's fine. Yeah. That makes sense.
And I'm sure you're definitely going to be bringing your telecommunication device from now on.
Oh yeah, always. Because I mean, if not, it would have helped if we could have at least had, I don't know, some kind of information. Like, because it was far enough away and then it was really smoky and it got really dark and then it got light again. So then it was like, oh, so did they contain it? Are we good now? And like, it was hard to tell, but really what it was is the wind had just changed direction and was taking all the smoke in a different direction from us. And that was, but we didn't know that at the time. So, but yeah, so I'll definitely take my communicator from now on.
So why did you get into backpacking? How did all that come about?
Because, well, I've been wanting to do this for years. So actually, so I'll probably write a blog about this. So what I did is about 2 years ago was when I wanted to get started into backpacking, and we went camping, and, you know, for my husband, two of us to go camping, we filled up the entire car. It's like, well, there's no way I can, like,
definitely do each time.
Yeah, every time.
How am I going to go backpacking if I have to bring a carload of stuff? I can't carry. So that was when I started the process. It was like a couple years ago. I was like, okay, so my goal is to be able to go. I basically used car camping as my training ground for backpacking.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. It's kind of the opposite of
slowly, like, make your stuff lighter? Or how did you prepare for backpacking?
It was really about the gear. So at first it was like, I have no way to actually carry things. You know, so getting a pack was good, but then everything didn't fit in the pack. There was also a stove, because, like, we were making a campfire for every meal and then go hiking. And, like, making a campfire to make your coffee before going out hiking, like, we weren't starting our hike until like 10 or 11.
Oh no. We sit around the campfire a little longer than that in the morning, usually.
Always with coffee.
several cups of coffee before we do anything, really.
The coffee is so important. So that was actually one of the motivations for getting a backpacker stove, so that like I could have my coffee first thing. Like, yeah, if we're going to do a campfire, I want my coffee though, while we're making the campfire.
No instant coffee, right? Tell me you're not doing
it. No. I have a backpacker's French press. We grind our coffee. French press! Yes! It's the best.
She can glamp while backpacking, too.
Oh, my gosh. She is a glamp queen.
What about sleeping? Like, this could be a whole nother episode. Yeah, probably. Like, about backpacking. But, I mean, like, I just want to know pillow situation.
Oh, yeah, the pillows.
Are you using one of those teeny tiny little blow-up pillows, or what's your pillow situation with backpacking?
Yes, I am I am using one of those blow-up pillows, but like it's called a hood pillow. So it's a pillow that fits into the hood of my sleeping bag.
That's neat.
That's really cool.
Sounds like cozy too.
Sounds so cozy.
It is cozy. Oh, and especially like when it's like kind of chilly and it's like cozy in there. And I can have the pillow inside the hood, and then the hood's up here so that my head's all warm and I'm all warm. And like the opening, I'll cinch it so tight so there's only like this much air. I'm like in my little cocoon.
Right. That sounds lovely. Is there anything else that for next time you're going to be packing in your backpack? Because I have heard of like those foil blanket things that like doesn't seem like a lot, but is there anything, any other gear that like somebody should be bringing with them if they're backpacking out there?
Oh, there's lots. Okay. So gear could be like a whole series, and it all depends on where you're going. And so you really do have to, if you're going to go on a hike, then you have to know the terrain, and you want to know like what kind of natural disasters is that place prone to? What kind of predators is that? I mean, like, we had to use bear cans, of course, because it's Yosemite. So, like,
I have heard those actually make the bears more angry. Is that true?
Oh, so I mean, like, a bear can, like, you keep your food in this.
Oh, I'm talking about the bear spray. That's what I'm thinking of.
I don't know. I don't have
it. Did you have bear spray?
No, we didn't have bear spray. Maybe we should have.
Well, I don't know. We need to look into that, because I've heard two contradicting things about bear spray, that like you should have them if you're hiking, and then it can actually make the bear more angry. I don't know.
So, I mean, okay. So I guess wherever you want to go, you want to check the park website and like call a ranger, because they'll tell you what to do. It's just like, you know, oh no, especially because like I think bears also are seasonal. Like there's some seasons where they're not very aggressive.
They like hibernate or go into camp or something like that, right?
Right. Yeah, so like right before hibernation, they're feeding a lot more, so maybe they're a little more dangerous there. And then right after hibernation, they're hungry.
Oh, hello. So
there's that.
What about always bring a slow friend? Is that what you're suggesting?
Oh my gosh, I'm not going back.
I mean, that's an option.
I think I've gone faster than Sarah, maybe, just maybe.
No, I'm not going back. But what about for fires? So is there any like gear for fires that like you should be bringing with you?
So we had our COVID masks with us, and that turned out to be really handy because with the smoke inhalation.
Oh, that makes so much more sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I was wearing those while we were hiking like the whole time. So honestly, I think I probably will continue to bring a mask even after COVID, because that was actually really handy. And then I think from now on, I'm probably going to try to camp next to a water source, because I definitely felt a lot better knowing that there was a water source. And worst case scenario, we could go for a swim or something, you know?
So, you've lived in California for how long?
About 5 years.
About 5 years. And have you ever seen, you know, right now, a lot of California and the West Coast is burning, which is just so sad to watch. Have you ever seen anything like this before with this scale of fires?
I hadn't. No, I mean, we have fire season. So that's from about July to November. So there's a fire pretty much every year somewhere in the state. And I have seen a lot of smoke in the sky and like kept an eye on the fire status before, but I had never seen anything to this extent, and I'd never seen this many fires. I hadn't, at least.
How have you felt like the fires have affected your specific community right now?
Mostly, so everyone, especially through work, is worried about smoke inhalation, because even though we're far away and we're kind of in town, there are still fires that are relatively close to us. And we have blue skies now, but we didn't have blue skies for about 2 weeks. It was just overcast and it was all smoke. So everyone's been pretty worried about smoke inhalation, people with asthma or are, you know, sensitive in other ways. Like, it's been irritating people's breathing. And so that's really been the biggest impact that I've seen.
We did come across some other articles too that were talking about funding in California in terms of fighting the fires versus fire prevention. And apparently there's some politics around that. What are, as like, I said, you know, a member of California, you know, somebody who lives in California, what are your thoughts about what the state is doing to prevent fires and fight the fires?
There is a lot of politics around it. And, you know, this is an unusual situation, I believe, because the drought has made everything worse than usual. I mean, it's because there's so many fires, I'm tempted to say that we should work on maybe having more controlled burns to help prevent all of the fuel that we have around. But because we have had a drought for so long, I'm not sure how much that would do. I don't know if that would have prevented this from happening anyway.
Is there anything like, because yeah, right now is a drought, you know, and fires always happen, but this one is so much worse. Is there anything that like Glamp Queens, you know, and like anybody that's like backpacking or even just spending time out in that area that they can do to help prevent this happening?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So always be aware of the fire restrictions that are happening. So every time you go camping, each site or each park will have their rules, and they do change with the season or the weather conditions, whether or not sometimes campfires are not allowed. Sometimes the little gas stoves are the only fire that's allowed, and then other times you can have a campfire. And so just be sure to check that and to follow those rules as well. And if you are going to have a campfire, make sure it's in the designated ring that's provided,
making sure and all the embers, I'm sure, and
yeah you have to like put it out completely before going to bed. Like, we pour water on it to like make sure there's no, you know, embers that are still burning. So it's, California is actually really good about communicating the rules and the ways to help, as long as people make a point to check the website or call the ranger and to see what the rules for that area and for that season are. So it's a really good way to help.
That's some good advice. That's some really good advice, actually. And these, I know there's, it's so sad also to see like all these communities right now that, you know, that are being burned and people are losing their homes. What are your thoughts about, you know, communities being built in high risk burn areas?
I mean, the thing is, like, where all the fires are in the high risk areas, they're also the most beautiful. So, I mean, I can see the attraction to the areas, and I wouldn't want to say don't build there, because I mean, there's this beautiful countryside. It is sad to see it burn. It will come back though. It always does. So that's good. I don't know. I can see why people would want to live there. I want to live there.
I want to live out there too, if I'm being honest. Oh, mountains. Yes. Wrap it up. Yes, for sure.
Oh, and all the pine trees. It's just, views.
Waterfalls.
So pretty.
Need some of that.
Yeah. We need more waterfalls in Texas.
So what is next for you? Do you have another backpacking trip planned?
I've been trying to like schedule one, but unfortunately all the best places have either a fire nearby or close enough that I don't really want to go there right now, or there's smoke inhalation. And then, you know, fire season ends in November. November is when parks start to close for the winter. So we don't have something scheduled yet, because I'm still trying to like maybe find a sweet spot, or may have to plan a road trip to another state.
You can come to Texas. We don't have winters. No, nope. Not real winters anyway.
Really forest fires. Well,
yeah.
Some places, but
we have tornadoes. Come join us.
But when I talk to people from California about, you know, tornadoes. I'm like, I know what to do in a tornado. I just don't know what to do for a wildfire. And they're just like,
I totally know what to do in a tornado. Yeah. I mean, I had a drop down right next to me while driving and I was like, okay, I know what to do. I know what to do. But
for I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was pretty close. Everything was fine though. We were okay.
We should have
drove really fast. So, you know, but if there was a forest fire though, I mean, I'm not sure if I would know what to do right away. So this is really helpful with you coming on and telling us about your experience, especially as a new backpacker, which I love that, like, you're like, let's get back out there. It's okay. Yes, do it. Tell us what happens next time.
It's weird. It's like, I don't know. Like, I guess I should have been terrified, but it was also kind of like fascinated by it. It was like, this is so interesting.
When you called me after it happened, because all I got, by the way, everybody, all I got from Lauren was, well, I guess I now know what it's like to evacuate from a wildfire, or it was something like that. And it was like, well, I know how to evacuate now. And it was like, wait, what? What is happening right now?
So when I sent that message, it was one of those, okay, we'd finally gotten out of the park. We were grabbing some food. You know, we had just escaped. We finally had cell service. So that was like the first thing I sent after I finally get cell service was like, I'm going to tell my sisters that I'm okay, but I wasn't okay. They didn't know that, but now I'm okay.
I'm so glad you're okay. I'm glad you're okay. Oh my goodness. Now, but what else is going on for you? I know that you have a blog that you are starting. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about that?
I've been so inspired from this experience. I've been writing a lot. So I am starting a blog. There's a lot of work to do because I've mostly been writing, not actually doing all the logistics for it.
Writing's the fun part, so I get that.
Exactly, right? So I'm calling it the Walkabout Diaries.
Oh, I love that name.
Oh my gosh.
And why
girl.
Walkabout?
Yes.
I've always been fascinated with walkabout, even like before I knew what a walkabout was. And then when I heard the term, I was like, oh, that's the thing. And I love the idea of kind of going out into nature and finding yourself and just kind of having this soul searching or kind of growth, personal growth. I don't know. I just love that idea. And so that's why I love nature. That's why I love going out camping. That's why I'm definitely going to go backpacking again, because like there's nothing quite like it, I find. One of the things I really love about camping is I feel like it's a really important part of my self-care, actually. So,
It's like, it sounds like a Crocodile Dundee style, like movie thing. Like, oh, I'm going to go on a walk.
You know, dressed exactly like Crocodile Dundee.
We need to get you
there,
but like really in big the girl,
like real cute version of that. We're going to get you
can
that.
Can I still be cute? Can I like dress cute in the wilderness?
Girl version.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like the girl version.
Yeah. On your blog, what are you mostly going to be focusing on? Is it going to be about backpacking?
Yes. I'm going to have a couple things. So I will be sharing lessons learned from evacuating from a fire, but I've also started a couple of short stories inspired by. So it'll be.
Ooh, like, like fiction?
Yeah.
So is this going to be like love romance in the woods?
Ooh.
Like,
no.
Is it going to get saucy, scandalous and
backpacking stories?
No, this is going to be, I don't know how to describe it other than it really fits with the idea of walkabout.
Oh, I love that. How cool. So it's going to be like a very creative space, it sounds like.
Yes. And I haven't quite figured out how to organize those two very different types of blog posts, but
cannot wait to hear all about your upcoming adventures.
For I'm excited.
All of our listeners out there, stay tuned. We're going to be posting on our social media pages about when her blog is going to be going live. So stay tuned for that. All right. Well, thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Wow.
Yeah, That was incredible. I don't know if I could have stayed the night as a wildfire burned in our area.
No way. No way. Uh-uh. I think I would have been wide awake the entire night.
Oh, I feel like we need to get one of those telecommunication devices that she has, like, right away. I know we aren't in any mountainous areas right now, but just in case.
Oh, yeah. I am definitely adding that to my Amazon cart right now. I am so glad that we had the chance to talk to Lauren, and I can't wait to check out her blog, The Walkabout Diaries.
Her blog sounds so creative and so good. Be sure to check out our social media, you guys, for updates on when she launches.
And we've been listening to stories in the news about these wildfires for a few weeks, but it's completely different listening to someone else who's actually caught in them and affected by them.
For sure. It really does help to bring the situation to life for those of us who aren't immediately affected by it. And it's been just devastating to see the destruction that these fires are causing, especially during these challenging times.
That's right. In addition to the smoke inhalation affecting the communities as they fight against the pandemic, many of the firefighters are pulling these insane shifts and are working multiple days on end.
But there are ways that you can help support both the firefighters and these communities.
Yes. Please search American Red Cross Western Wildfires to donate to the relief fund, or go check out California Fire Foundation to donate to this cause. There's even a GoFundMe happening right now that you can find by searching the Wildfire Relief Fund.
In addition, donating to the food banks in these areas can also really help these communities get back on their feet. Not only are these food banks battling against the increasing unemployment rates right now from COVID-19, but they're also supporting families who have lost their homes from the fires. So please check out our show notes for links to food banks affected by the West Coast wildfires. You can also find the links to the resources that Katie just mentioned in our show notes.
And to learn more about ways that you can help prevent wildfires when out glamping, camping, backpacking, hiking, or just enjoying nature, check out readyforwildfire.org.
Okay, thanks so much for listening, and we'll see y'all next time.
Yes, see you!